Are you a busy woman who at times struggles with reducing your daily stress? Do you know that you need to slow down but do not know how? If you're looking at reducing your daily stress, you're in the right place. My name is Denise Eckert and I welcome you to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. I just love interviewing guests so they can share their stress-reducing tips and techniques with you. Now, if you find this podcast helpful, please share it with someone who struggles with stress. Because lowering our stress will make us a better person, a happier partner, mom, friend, neighbor, etc. And the best part is happiness is contagious. Enjoy this episode. My name is Denise Eckert. I'm from the Relaxation Lounge. And I love coming on here and sharing different techniques and tips to help you lower the stress in your life. And today is a very important topic, as sleep is one of the main factors in helping us feel better. And today I've got an expert. Her name is Callie Patrick. And Callie Patrick is an adult sleep coach and number one bestselling author of Mastering Your Sleep Puzzle, your 12-week guide to sleeping better. And what she does is she helps stressed out, tired people reclaim their sleep, energy, and enthusiasm for life. Welcome, Callie.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
What prompted you to take this journey to help others with sleep? Was this something that you struggled with yourself?
Oh, 100%. Since probably from the time that I was an undergrad in college, I would say I would have described myself as someone with insomnia. And I knew it was a stress-based situation. I tried all the things. I did the sleep study in the hospital back when they didn't have the take-home test then. You got the electrodes hooked up to your head and a bunch of people watched you sleep. And in my case, they said, oh, you did fine. Here's some medicine. And they sent me home with a prescription. And I was very confused by that because I thought to myself, well, if I slept fine, why do I need a prescription? And clearly I don't sleep fine because I'm here. And so I started to look for alternatives. And it took me a long time. It took me about 20 years to find something that really worked. And so once I found that, I did want to share it with other people who had similar situations and similar stories.
Why do you find people really struggle with getting a good night's sleep?
Well, a lot of it has to do with our culture and how we think about downtime and rest. I would say probably the number one underlying cause of many people's chronic sleep struggles when it's not a medical disorder is really that failure to rest and relax. So part of it is just really retraining ourselves to accept that the human body does have limitations. It does have energy that rises and falls throughout a day and that that can be normal. The need to take breaks can be normal. And that creating that kind of rest rhythm throughout the day is actually really vital and important for being able to sleep well at night. And I think a lot of people who have trouble with sleep do focus on the nighttime or they focus on the bedtime routine and then they're not really looking to the daytime to see how some of the, I'll say, non-traditional things are impacting their sleep. So we often hear about, obviously, eating well, being hydrated, exercising, getting light, et cetera. But I'm talking about some of the, you know, the more complicated aspects of our lives, those things that add stress and prevent us from taking the downtime we really need.
Now, for someone that does struggle with sleep and that's listening today, what are some of the easy steps that they can start taking right now to make that difference in their lives?
Well, it really depends on what the struggle is, right? I mean, sometimes people have difficulty falling asleep at the onset. Sometimes people wake up too early. Sometimes people will wake up at the 2 to 4 a.m. window, right, in the middle of the night and then be unable to fall back to sleep. So the answers are really varied, but I would say that generally and culturally speaking, in addition to learning that rest is a vital component and it needs to be reintroduced to our days. I think a lot of times when people are struggling with sleep, they're doing too much to fix it. So another mindset shift that I often talk about is when you think about sleep, is it something that we're trying to control, whether that's with a substance or a complicated bedtime routine? Or are we allowing sleep to be the surrender and the letting go that it's really meant to be? So just taking a look at how you're viewing your sleep and what's happening when you're not sleeping exactly how and when and you'd want to be, right? Sometimes we get very controlling around that. And I do tend to work with certain personality types where, you know, they're fixers in other areas of their life, they're problem solvers, and that is obviously a great skill to have. But a lot of the times the strategies that are applied to sleep are actually working against them. So just taking a look at how much of the control versus surrender is happening around sleep. And along with that, I think is this idea of, you know, how much do we need to do? I work with some clients who have, you know, 12-step bedtime routines and maybe a little bit unclear about what is actually necessary and what is helping versus what is process that is adding stress to the sleep experience and isn't actually solving the problem. So in many cases, we strip away rather than add, and that helps to pave the way for a more restful bedtime experience, and then hopefully sleep happens as a side effect.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Because I've always struggled with sleep, and even my mom used to tell me, like, you, even as a baby, she goes, you just did not sleep. And that has followed me into adulthood. And I find in the past, I mean, I was able to get to sleep. I just couldn't stay asleep. And now I almost have an anxiety when I get to bed. All of a sudden, I get this rush of adrenaline. And it's an anxiety towards sleep. Now, do you find that a common problem with people?
Absolutely. Especially for people who have struggled for a long time, we can get in our heads about it, right? So paying attention to what happens in the thoughts when we're not sleeping the way we want to is really important. And I do talk a lot about this in the book and when I work with private clients, right? A very common thing is you fall asleep fine, you wake up in the middle of the night, and then the brain starts going, oh, here we go again. My sleep sucks. I'm going to be a wreck tomorrow. If I don't get to sleep in the next, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, that's going to leave me with calculations of how much time there is left to be, right? And so the mind wanders and goes into these places of, you know, not positive situations. And so that can certainly create sleep anxiety. And I do think of sleep anxiety as kind of the icing on the cake, right? You have the problem with the cake, but then you're adding a level of difficulty on top of that by having some anxiety around it. So oftentimes we need to work on both.
Now, I'd like you to talk a little bit about your book because it sounds very practical. It's a 12-week guide. So basically you're telling people in 3 months, you'll have better sleeping habits. Can you explain a little bit of how you do this with people?
Sure. So the book is intended to be a written version of the 12-week coaching program that I do one-on-one with clients. And I did that in part to make it more accessible to people and also to just convey the approach, which is very different from what I think is out there in a lot of cases. And so the difficulty there is obviously that we're making it generic, right? And we're putting something into a linear form where coaching is very iterative and conversational and customized. But essentially, it's the program that I created based on what I've learned from both health and wellness coaching and changing of habits and motivation and sticking with something. And also my yoga therapy training, which is more about how do we bring rest back into our lives? How do we restore balance to the nervous system and quell the underlying stimulation that is oftentimes a symptom of an underlying cause, rather, for insomnia? So it is very practical. It does take folks through that 12-week coaching program as best as I could in a short amount of time. And so hopefully, and I have heard good things from it. If people follow the process, it does work. The other nice side effect is that even though we're looking at sleep and we're looking at well-being, it often does require us to take a step back and look more about how we're living our lives and what is it we really want. And so I've heard from many people, both with the book and with private coaching, that, wow, I just came in wanting to fix my sleep and wanting to change my sleep. And what changed was everything in a positive way. So that's always nice to hear.
I guess too, once you clarify your life a lot more, then you don't have all these raging thoughts in your head. So when you do lay down, you can relax a lot better, which does make sense. I'm an entrepreneur, and a lot of the people listening here today are entrepreneurs. So what are some of the bad habits that we should get rid of right away to help our sleep to come to us? Because that's what I find. I talk to a lot of people, and almost everybody I talk to, especially women my age, menopausal, postmenopausal, premenopausal, really struggle with sleep. We're all walking around like zombies at times. So what are some of the bad habits we can avoid to give us better sleep?
Well, first of all, I'll mention there is a chapter in the book that's also available as a free download called Lifestyle Habits Wrecking Your Sleep. So that's very relevant to what we're about to talk about today. So, but you're asking kind of two questions there, right? The entrepreneur question and the female in a transitionary period of her life when hormones might be doing things that are interrupting sleep. So from the entrepreneurial perspective, you know, the first thing I'll say as someone who did work in corporate and then transitioned herself to entrepreneurship, right? We often come into working for ourselves because we're very passionate about what we're doing and we want to build our business and we want more freedom, right? But we often end up working harder and working more either because of, you know, necessity to get something off the ground or because we just enjoy it so much. That said, when we have that go, 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 never stop kind of mentality, that gets into ourselves, that gets into our bodies, right? It gets into our minds. And then we think we're going to shut off like a light when we go to sleep, or we think, well, I'll take a half hour, do my little bedtime routine, and that's going to calm things down, right? The word unwinding before bed is something that just is like fingernails on a chalkboard to me, because how are you winding yourself up during the daytime that you need unwinding at night? So again, working in for yourself, for your schedule, you have, as an entrepreneur, you own your schedule. There is no one else telling you what you need to do. So it has to become important to build in those breaks, build in that downtime, and make that be rest versus recreation, right? Versus, you know, playing around on social media or watching television or something. It's real true rest. And I think a lot of people don't know what that experience is like. And the book does talk a lot about what someone can do with 5 minutes, with 15 minutes to actually create that environment of rest for themselves. So that's one piece of it. And that's not a specific thing that it's a specific thing we're doing, right? When we're just on all the time and thinking that that's normal. Like the body works like a machine. The mind can just keep going. And it does until it crashes, which unfortunately happens to a lot of people. But really our natural rhythm is one of energy and doing and then rest and being. And we need to incorporate that more through the day. So when we ignore that, then it becomes really hard for sleep to happen at night. The day is the other half. You know, what happens in the day is going to reflect what happens at night. So that's the entrepreneur part of the question. When we get into women our age and dealing with your hormonal changes, that obviously becomes a lot more complex. It can be useful to have some testing done to work with another professional who can kind of suss out what's happening hormonally and potentially doing some things to support. Personally, I have been, you know, off and on with hot flashes since 2018. And there have been times where it's really, I've been up like 7 times at night going, okay, this has to change. So I did have some functional testing done. I'm now taking some supplements that have helped so much. And there are things that can be done about that. But, you know, everybody's different and that's a little bit out of my scope. However, women our age are also potentially in need of some boundary tweaking. We're trying to take care of so many different things. Business, family, children, aging parents, when we're squeezed in the middle. So again, it's about that harder look at self-care, which requires maybe saying, no, I can't do that. Thank you very much. And making sure that there's that downtime for ourselves.
Yeah. Now, are you for having a simple bedtime routine?
100%. The way that I look at the bedtime routine is, what is the one thing that you will do very consistently, meaning almost every single night, that you know or have a real strong gut feeling is going to be a benefit to you. And everything else can happen or not happen. So I was telling this story not too long ago with hot flashes in the Ayurvedic yogic traditions. We talk a lot about oiling, using different kinds of oils to create an experience in the body. And so one of the things that we can do for something like a hot flash is to use a specific kind of oil on the hands and the feet before bed. And so there was a time where I really wanted to start doing that more consistently. I wanted to do it every night before bed to ease my hot flashes. And the goal could be, okay, I'm going to oil my feet every night before bed. And that's typically where people go. My goal was, I'm going to find the oil and put it by my bed. That was my goal. Because there's just like, it's not going to happen every night if the oil is not there. So how long did it take me to move the oil? Well, things happen, right? It took a week. So now I have the oil by the bed. Guess what happened after that? Well, I oiled my hands and feet about 3 or 4 times the next week. Did I set a goal to do that? No. I saw the oil and I went, oh, I want to do that. There it is. So sometimes I think we get locked into what kinds of goals we're going to set and we make them way too big. Now, it might sound ridiculous to say, well, my goal this week is to move the oil. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in life. And sometimes that's enough. And so we look to just pave the way for the behavior rather than looking at it as something that we have to make ourselves do and force to happen.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I can't wait to get your book. I have it ordered. I haven't received it yet. And yeah, it just sounds amazing because it sounds very practical, you know, and it sounds easy to follow. And I love that. So I understand that you've got a chapter that people can get a glimpse of your book.
Absolutely. Yes. They can go to my website, which is kalipatrick.com, K-A-L-I. And it's right there on the homepage. They can download a free sample of that Lifestyle Habits chapter and check it out.
I love that. Thank you. Now we are going to wrap this up. So can Callie share her words of wisdom to the people that are struggling with sleep right now?
I guess it would be to not lose hope. I think in a lot of cases when people have struggled, a lot of the clients that I coach, I have been struggling for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And it can feel like, well, I've done everything. I've tried everything. I'm a hopeless case. I'm just not a good sleeper. And I would like to say that that is almost never the case. I have never run across a hopeless case. And our bodies and our minds, they know how to do this. We just have to get out of the way.
Wow. And now, do you do online coaching, group coaching? What kind of coaching do you provide?
Yep, I do one-on-one private coaching. And so anyone who's interested in that can book a clarity call through the website. It's a free 30-minute consultation. And I also offer an online course called the Sleep Academy. And that's a 6-week version of that 12-week program. So people can get in there, people who are sort of more self-motivated and get a taste of what the sleep coaching experience is like. And if they want to, from that point, then they can come into one-on-one coaching. Or in some cases, I've had people do the course and say, wow, this was great. I feel better. And that's always good to hear too.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It was great information. And as I said, I can't wait to get the book because I do struggle with sleep amongst a lot of women that I know. So thank you so much for your time today. It was awesome.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for listening and just leaving you a gentle reminder to slow down and enjoy life. So I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. Have you ever wondered what your stress personality is? Are you a self-care goddess or a burnout queen? Well, you can find out by taking my free quiz. You just need to go to www.stressquiz.info to find out where you rank. Sending you love and peace, and I'll see you in the next episode.